There's a miracle in my mouth. I can have what I say because he said I could. Amen? You can have what you say if you will be bold to declare what thus saith the Lord. Amen? A couple of verses tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, if you would, please. It talks about, and to each hath been given the manifestation of the Spirit. I like how verse 6 talks about the activities or the varieties of the activities of the Holy Spirit. For to one through the Spirit has been given a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another by the same Spirit. To another the gift of faith in the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings in the same Spirit. And to another in workings of mighty deeds. Amen? In workings of mighty deeds. Okay? So we talked a lot about, you know, last week how that we must have faith in the power of God and we must not back off from that, right? Amen? And so your faith will activate the power of God. You know, Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if you would simply believe that you would see the very glory of God? The definition of miracles, it's a divine intervention into the ordinary course of nature. Was not the virgin birth a miracle? Jesus being raised from the dead was a miracle. It's a temporary suspension of the accustomed order. It's an interruption into the system of nature as we know it, operated by the Spirit of God. One other statement. The miracle, the working of miracles is indeed a mighty gift. Glorifying the God of all power, as Howard Carter said, and stimulating the faith of his people and astonishing and confounding the unbelief of the wicked. And so if we were to have the time tonight, we could spend hours and hours looking at the various miracles that happened just in the Old Testament. And then we could spend more hours and more time talking about the miracles that occurred in the New Testament. God is a God of miracles. When we think about the children of Israel, millions of them, in Egyptian bondage for many, many years, under the barrage of the vicious taskmasters of Egypt, viciously beaten, treated as if they were animals. And God called upon a man named Moses on the backside of the desert. And God called Moses and said, go set my people free. See, when God wants to do something, he does it through his people. And we are his people. Moses was reluctant, like many times we are reluctant. Why? Because of the flesh. We need to put the flesh aside and become more spiritually minded and get our mind off of our carnality and off of our flesh and get our mind on him. And Moses said, I can't do this. Who shall I tell them sent me? God said, you tell them I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. And so Moses approached Pharaoh. How many of you know Pharaoh was an old hard-headed, hard-hearted guy? And he, hardness of heart. And Moses went before him at least, I think it was about 10 times with different plagues that came on the scene to try to convince Pharaoh to let the people of God go free, because God said, I hear the sighing and I see the hear the crying of my people, and I've come down to do something about it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Pharaoh, man, you know, frogs came on the scene. There was frogs in the kitchen, frogs in the bedroom, frogs in the bathtub, frogs all over the place. And so Moses said, this is it. We got him. He'll let him go now for sure. He said, will you let the people go? When will you let my people go? And he says, tomorrow. In other words, Pharaoh was saying, one more night with the frogs. And you will find that ungodly leaders want to hold on to their authority, because that's all they have in the natural realm. They have no supernatural power authorizing them to stand in that position. Not when God has a mind to let His people go. Whew. Finally, there came a time where it was time for the children of Israel to go over the Red Sea. The children of Israel went to the Red Sea, and the Bible says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and that the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind, and all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Isn't that a miracle? And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Whatever He's got to do, He will do it. If we'll just trust Him. Amen? And of course, we know what happened. The Egyptians pursued and they went after them. And all of them, the Pharaoh and the horses, his chariots, and all of them, they ended up drowning in that particular sea. And you know, religious people are so stupid. Religion is not relationship. Religion is man's search for God. Christianity says, I've got Him. And the search is over. Now notice, someone, I don't know who it was, nobody in this room, but someone, Reuben, trying to discount the miracles of the Red Sea, being split in two. Well, they said the place they crossed over was only 2 feet deep. Well, that's really a miracle because a whole army drowned with 2 feet of water. So we know that wasn't the case. Other translations of that, when it talks about the Red Sea being divided, there was a wall, it tells us that it was congealed. Now, what does the word congealed mean? Congealed means to change from a fluid to a solid state by, as if by cold, or frozen. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
When they went through the Red Sea, they were pretty cool why they did it. But this was a protective miracle. God's got protective miracles for His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You think about the hand of the Lord right now that is upon people protecting them in homeless camps. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the old earth. And He sees people in their specific condition. And He's come down to bring them up and to bring them out. Just like He has brought you up and He has brought you out. Woo, glory to God. Say of me, my God is a miracle working God. My God is a delivering God. He saw me on that bed in 1974, praying to die, fully addicted, fully despondent, fully ready to go home or to die. He saw me. He heard my prayer. And He came down into the miry clay and lifted me up and took me out and put me into a place of safety. In my testimony is repeated over and over and over and over again through millions of people that have called upon the name of the Lord, whether it be addiction or whatever the case may be. God sees. We serve a God who sees. And when we pray powerful prayers with miracles in our mouths, miracles go in to the inner cities. Miracles go in to children's hospitals. Hallelujah. He lifts people out of the miry clay. We must never forget it. We must never become so comfortable with our Christianity that it becomes casual to us. Two Sunday nights ago, we had a revival meeting in this church. Fire, fire, fall on me. Bring a new revival. Oh, come on, a fire. Just like you did on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Fire fall. Fire fall. Fire fall. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. We must never lose our fire. We must stir up the fire that's on the inside of us. Oh, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. It's beyond human intellect. It's beyond all that we can dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. It's the exceeding greatness of His power that is at work within His sons, at work within His people. Amen. And so this was a delivering miracle. This was a protecting miracle. That's not something else. And in Psalms 105, I want you to look at this. We're not going to go all night. But look at Psalms 105, verses 37 through 42. By the way, we're going to have a big party this weekend. We're going to celebrate the goodness of God. Amen. And a firebrand will be here by the name of Ricky Edwards. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a good, good time. Amen. Now notice this. Here's another miracle. And I saw this today. I thought, thank you, Lord, for reminding me of this. Hallelujah. Now, we begin in verse 37. Now, the children of Israel are on the other side. They're on the other side. But notice how He brought them forth. Psalm 107, verse 35. No, it's Psalm 105, verse 37. Well, you can read, can't you? Yeah, I can read. Psalms 105, verse 30. You get so excited up here sometimes. Verse 37. He brought them forth. He's brought you forth. He's bringing His body forth. We ain't going backward. We're going forward. We're going forward. We're going to march right into the glory world. Amen. He brought them forth also with nickels and dimes. Nothing wrong with nickels and dimes. Don't misunderstand me. What? A lot of them. Yes. Thank you. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Someone said when God delivers, He delivers in style. We could say right there that that was a provisional blessing. Or we could even call it a provisional miracle, right? He brought them forth with silver and with gold. Now understand that there were at least 3 million of them. 3 million of them. I mean, Grammy and Papa were in there. Great Grammy and great Papa were in there. Mom and Dad were in there. I mean, millions of people. And he brought them forth with silver and gold. You know where I'm going, don't you? And there was, no, notice this, there was not one, not one, not a one, not a one. God's brought us into the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe we're going to have everything we need, and he's bringing all of us forth. And there will not be one feeble. Woo, glory to God. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble. Not one feeble among their tribes. So we see the miracle of deliverance. We see the miracle of protection. We see the miracle of provision. But also we see the miracle of supernatural divine intervention in the area of supernatural divine health. Yes. I believe with all of my heart that it is the will of God and the plan of God for all of us to walk in divine health. Somebody said, but there's this symptom in my body and this happened and that happened. Yes, we understand that things happen. But you know what? We just keep marching. We keep marching and we keep proclaiming the goodness of God and the blessing of God upon their lives. Verse 38, Egypt. Egypt was glad they left. Why? For the fear of them fell upon them. Verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and the fire to give light in the night. I'm thinking how Billy Brim used to sing that song. He brought them forth with silver and gold. Man, she could sing it. He spread a cloud for a covering and the fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought forth quails. And he satisfied them with the bread of heaven. That's a provisional miracle. Verse 41. He opened the rock. And the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. I get tired of people talking about how nasty we are in California. I feel like sometimes saying, look, we live here. We're salt. We're light. We're fighters. We're not moving to Arizona. We're not moving to Tennessee. We're not moving to Florida. We're staying right here. Now, for all of you that have moved, I love you. I'm not talking about you. All of a sudden, through my mind, with all these people that moved. No, no. You were led. No, we love you. We're not talking about you. But we're here. We're here. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here. Right now. And since we are here, why don't we all be here? Yes. All in. Amen? Yes. Keith Moore preached this years ago, and it really set me free, especially during the pandemic. I talked to Keith one Saturday, Brenda and I did, Brother Moore, and we called him, and it was right at the tail end of the pandemic, and you know, I said, you know, I'm thinking about just opening it up anyhow. Now, I wasn't quite as bold as Rodney Howard Brown. But I mean, sometimes you've had it. And, you know, he said, well, you could try it. he didn't tell me what to do. Well, we were going to open, but, you know, the mandate's closed and we were able to open, but whatever the case may be. But one of the things that he said to me that has really resonated with me, because, you know, as I look around the landscape of the nation, I see churches of thousands and thousands of people. And I know a lot of churches have, you know, just resources, resources, resources. And by faith, we have them too. Amen? But he said something to me that really set me free. He said, you know, you need to go where you're sent. Go where you're sent. That means you need to know where you're sent. That goes for church people too. You need to go where you're sent. And then Brother Key said, and then you need to stay where you're stationed. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm under the commander in chief. He has stationed me here. Where has he stationed you? Where are you stationed? I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more yet to happen.
Yes, there is.
And then I got so set free the other day, and I'm almost done. So don't get nervous in the service. I was listening to Jeremy Pearson. How many remember Jeremy Pearson? He's Brother Copeland's grandson. You know, great teacher, great preacher. He was here years ago. Amazing. Got a great church in Colorado. And he's been doing a series on the church and the power of community and the power of God's presence and the amazing love that is manifest in a local church. And he was talking about how big that is. And his message that morning was big favor. Big favor. And instead of using the word favor, he used the word mega. Anybody ever been to a mega mall? Well, let's get a little bit more, make it plain. How many have ever been to a mega buffet? Okay, there we go. Mega. Big. Then he said something, and I can't quote it verbatim, but it just got in me because it helped me. I was in the kitchen, I heard it. I said, yes, Jesus. He said, you know, you hear about a lot of churches that have 5,000 people, 25,000 people, even 30,000 people. And that's what is commonly known as a mega church. It ain't a mega church if it doesn't have mega power. It's not a mega church if it doesn't have mega presence. And it's not a mega church if it doesn't have mega favor. And he was saying, whoo, glory to God. We've got mega power. We've got mega presence. We've got mega love. We got mega souls being saved. And he said, we're a mega church. And I thought, us too. Not to be in pride or anything, but I've introduced you to Pastor Tom, Pastor Mark, Pastor Brenda, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Caleb. We're pastors of a mega church in the Bay Area. Mega God, mega favor, mega grace, mega goodness, mega power, mega presence.
Yes, hallelujah.
Stand up, everybody. Mega miracles, mega manifestations. Woo! And mega finances. Somebody shout mega finances. So we value what he's doing here. Amen.